and senior pastor will do to you. Now, here's Pastor Jim Sr. This is what 2 years of retirement will do for you. Oh, well, what an honor just to be with you and to share. I love to be with this church family. You're the greatest people. I love you so very much. I'm so proud of each one of you in the right way and what God can do. And I believe this is an important time to understand and hear what the Spirit is speaking. But boy, being able to love one another, to love the Lord, to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have one thing, love one for another. Yeah, we're going to talk some about that. I'm going to talk to you about arise and shine. I'm talking from Isaiah chapter 60. Now, I don't have any PowerPoints. The only PowerPoint you'll find today is right here. And I want to tell you, the only power I have is the power of the Holy Spirit to speak as an oracle of the Spirit from the Word of the living God, and pray that you'll hear with your heart what God has to say. I would be discouraged if you only heard Jim Machen speak today, but if you hear the Spirit of God, if I can speak as an oracle of the Spirit, then this is a real deal. You won't hear just a sermon, you'll hear the Spirit of the living God. I watched you while you worship, and it's wonderful. We're not just singing, we're worshiping the Lord. Amen? That makes a real deal. And so I'm very thankful that we can come and share together and know His life and His love and what He wants to do. I want to encourage you to set yourself for water baptism. That is so important, and I'm going to reflect a little on that. And also, we've been talking about, and I'm going to mention this in the message today, about the tipping point. And I've shared some of this with men and the Man of God meetings, but I want you to understand something about what the times are that we live in today. It was said in the Old Testament, the children of Issachar understood the days in which they lived. And we need to understand today, so we have something to say that's not just an opinion, but an obedience to what God has to say to a world that so needs Him and so wants Him. They just don't know it. They have a blind mind like I did. I was saved when I was 22 years old. I walked with a blind mind that said, Jim, you're a good guy. You go to church. You must be a Christian. But I didn't know the Lord. I believed in Him, but He's out there. He wasn't in here. And then to come to know and understand the grace of God and have an encounter with Christ to transform my life and watch people who have come to know Him, that kind of love. That's the real deal. And that's what we have to share. And every one of us, you have that within you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But listen, you didn't just get saved to get saved. You got saved to serve the Lord with that love that He's put within you so you can reach out and love people to life in Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's allow that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when that song was going this morning, where would we be without your love? We'd still be lost in darkness. I never forget the day that I drove to church. I told Sharon, and we were just dating at the time, and she didn't know what to think of me. At one point, she said, I like you like I like my brother. But I knew what she thought of her brother, because he and I were friends. And so that didn't thrill me too much. I remember saying to her just before I got to church, I got to have one more cigarette, I said. Just before I didn't get it all smoked. And you know, I went to that little church, and somebody told that preacher on me. And when he spoke, it didn't hit here, it hit here. Now, I'd been in church before. And he said, bow your heads. And I, boy, good. Nobody see me running out the door. And I did. And then I wasn't coming back, but next Sunday I did. Third Sunday, he said, everybody kneel. Cut my legs out from under me. I left a pool of tears in that old pew. Never been the same. Never been the same. That day my eyes were washed from the inside. And for the first time, I found out not only who Jesus was, I found out who Jim is for the first time in my life. And I want to tell you, that's the real deal we have to offer everybody. Amen, church? Amen. Don't ever forget that. Sometimes we forget the end. We get so caught up with the mess in the middle of things that we forget the miracle that's right there, that's in our heart to know His love. So as we walk in the Word today, I pray that God can do a beautiful thing at you, because, you know, the Lord's begun a good work in you. He's going to complete it to the end. He's the finished carpenter. Have you ever seen somebody start a job but they never finish it? There's a lot of folks like, a lot of Christians that way too, unfortunately. But he's a finished carpenter. And by the way, God's at work in your life. Do you know that? Matter of fact, would you just say, God is working in me. Now, would you look at the person next to you and say, you need it. And listen, we all do. Amen? Every single one of us. I'm so glad. I want to hang a sign on me sometimes. Danger. Got Christian under construction. Danger. God at work. But I'm so thankful he's shaping us. He loves us. He never gives up on us. And I'm so thankful today that I can share the word of God with you in a real way. If you have your Bible, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 60. And this is the word of the Lord that he gave to me to speak. And this is something I pondered in my heart a great deal, the thing I bring to you today. This is not a microwave sermon. This is a crockpot sermon that simmered in my spirit for a long time. And it simmered in my spirit as I sat in board meetings and I listened to what's going on around the world and on 60,000 churches, 140 nations that we're involved in. It simmers in my heart of an understanding of what God is doing in this day and hour and what he wants to speak. And I'm so very thankful for a church family like this where you want to hear the word of God, but you want to do something with it. Because we only hear it, we don't do anything with it, we've been deceived. And listen, he is coming soon. And I want you to be able to get that fixed in your heart. And in the meantime, know this, you do need the Lord. And please know this, we do need one another. How many of you have ever almost got a puzzle together and you realize you're missing a piece? And it's the most important piece. It's right. It's the face of what's going to be there. Can I tell you what? Every single one of you are part of the puzzle that puts us together to reflect Jesus to this world. And you're so needed. God needs you. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Because God really does trust you. And he's entrusted you with the gospel. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you're important. But we are important to one another. And sometimes we forget that. We live in America, we worship individualism. In other countries, it's we talk about we. Here it's I. And we can go it alone. I'm sufficient alone. No, you're not. If you think you're that strong, you're terribly weak. You're very vulnerable. And the enemy will take advantage of that. Would you watch this first little video clip that I want to share with you? This is just a little snippet out of that we're going to be sharing with you. And I want you to get two Sunday nights in your sight, at least two Sunday nights. It could be one more. But two Sunday nights in sight. And this needs to be a time that you come to hear what the Spirit is speaking. It'll be Jimmy Evans speaking at Robert Morris's church. Some of this I've shared with Man of God meetings, and I want to encourage you, man, don't any of you ever think, well, I know that, I've heard that, I know. If you know it, God bless you. Now show it by getting your family here, getting your friends here, that we hear together. There's something about hearing together. We're better together. God made us that way. That's the way he creates us as an individual family. This is a corporate family, just a little bit larger. Listen to the words that he says about that.
9/11 looked like a Sunday school party. The world will change dramatically the day after the rapture. Think about the day after the rapture. Think about the world. Of course, they'll be deceived, but the tribulation starts. Don't envy sinners. And the last thing I want to say is live for God and not this world. You need to put God first. Whatever it takes, you put God first. You need to be in accountable relationships with fellow believers. And I want to read this scripture and I'll close. This is Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is as the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day, capital D, day, approaching. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is you need to be in fellowship with each other, stirring each other up to love and good works. And as you see the coming of Christ approaching, you need to be more committed to that than ever. I've known Jesus for 42 years. I got saved a week before we got married, and Karen and I have been married for 42 years as of May. I've been a believer for over 42 years. I'm a pastor. I'm a spiritual man. I know the Bible. If I got out of Christian fellowship, I would fall.
Yeah.
If I did not have close Christian friends around me, holding me accountable and loving me, I would fall. I don't believe any person in this world can make it spiritually without church, and without good godly friends. Your friends are your future.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's true.
The wolf is always looking for the lone sheep. The wolf never attacks close to the shepherd or in the flock. He's always looking for that lone sheep. And however the devil can get you alone, through offenses, through sin, through busyness, whatever, whatever the devil has to do to get you alone, that's what he wants to do. Because that's where he'll take advantage of you. You need to make a commitment that says, I'm in church, I'm staying in church. Amen. And nothing's going to take me out, and I'm going to have friends around me that can hold me accountable. And if you do that, you'll make it. You'll be a successful believer. And when Jesus comes, you'll be ready. I want you to bow your heads with me, if you would.
It's important because God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? By the way, if God said it, even if I don't believe it, it's settled. Amen? He gets the final word. We just benefit by believing what he says. And he's the one that tells us, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more so as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Now, the day could happen before I get done. That day could happen before I get done. And I want you to watch this video, because I want you to see the day that he's talking about, because it could happen today. And if it does, I'll be glad for the interruption in my sermon. Watch this. Would you say this with me? The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. And we don't know when that day will be, but I want to talk to you of what we're to do in the meantime. I want to talk to you today about arise and shine. If you have your Bible in Isaiah chapter 60, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Then going to Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, remind us of an understanding of what your word says. Flush out everything the world has to say and give us an ear to hear in a clear way what we need to do as, Lord God, we humble our heart to you. Lord, as we come this day, help us to hear you, Lord. Help us to be able to hear what we're to do and how we can be part of sharing your great heart to a world that so needs your love. I bless you and believe for that in the name of Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to be reminded of the day and hour that we live in, not with gloom and doom, but an understanding and being able to reach people. And that's what I want to talk to you about that's so important. And I want to commend you, first of all, for what you're already doing and build on what God has brought to you by his love, the understanding you have of being able to see, though, the day and hour that we live in, and that God had you here right now. He has you here for such a time as this. He's entrusting what you will do. As you read about the early church, please know, they are now us. We have our accountability to reach the world. You know, I was thinking of some of the sermons that Pastor Jim brought to us about authority. And one of the messages he brought was the fact that sometimes we're demoted by deception. And please know, deception is at work in our nation, especially in ways we don't see how bad things are. And it's the most dangerous path you can be on. It's one thing when you know the warfare is going on, but Pastor John talked last Sunday about the fact we're in a war. He talked about the God of angels' armies and the understanding that we are at warfare, and you can only ignore the war so long. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, bringing every thought into captivity, casting down imaginations, that the battleground goes on right here in the head. That's why it's so important that we hear with our heart. I pray today that you hear with your heart what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, because he has something he wants you to do. He wants you to be able to step out, to believe for what he'll minister to you and through you so your light can shine in a very dark world. The other sermon that really spoke to my heart that Pastor Jim brought was Suffer to Success. I didn't even like the title. Suffer to Success, that doesn't sound very good. But I read in the Hebrews that Jesus, though he were his son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Suffering is a learned thing about obedience. Obedience is things you'll learn during those times that you suffer. Listen, some people live and learn. Some people just live. Amen? And they never seem to learn. That's why it's so important that we understand. We live in a culture that we listen to reply. We don't listen to understand. We need to come to that point. You really listen. That's what Jesus is doing all the time. He's listening to you and I. We need to care about people in that way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word wait is so important. Wait, W-A-I-T. Why am I talking? I need to be listening. There's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. Amen? And I want to say again, it's important that we listen to understand, not just reply. And men, I need to hear an amen from you. Amen. Wow, you guys are much better in the first service. I had to do that twice to get that story. Amen. You're with it. Well, I want you to understand, as we're coming to this time, it's so important that we hear the Holy Spirit and then respond to what he's speaking, because he is speaking much to the church today because of all the darkness that we see. He wants to bring light. Matter of fact, I hope you'll set your sights on two Sunday nights, at least two. And it's going to be, Pastor Jim just decided this morning, August 16th and 23rd, that we're going to come together to hear about the tipping point. And I want you to understand something about the tipping point of what's going on, and I'll reflect a little more as I go in the message this morning. But we are at a tipping point. And if we don't understand that, then we're just going to set it in our comfort zone and get by. You'll never understand, enter in to the combat zone of where things are really happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God so wants to awaken us. The spiritual slumber that's come upon the church, we need to have an ear to hear and then know it's high time to awaken, for the night is far spent, and the night will come when no man can work. But right now, we can arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is still upon his church, and he is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. They will assail, but they will not prevail. And you need to understand, that's talking about you. It's talking about people like you and me, the understanding of a revelation. And please, be thankful for every church that preaches the gospel, but find a good church, get planted in it, and do something to glorify the Lord. Amen? The Bible says the Lord places us in the body as it pleases him. Get in there and do something for God. Be real. You don't always have to be right. Let God do something so deep in your life that you begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit that lets people see the revelation of Jesus Christ in this world. That's what really we need to be about every day of our life. When we understand that, we can see God working in our hearts and lives in such a beautiful way, and we can see what God wants to do in so many ways of bringing healing and bringing hope to such a dark world. You listen to the news at night before you go to bed, and I promise you, you won't sleep well. If you want to get depressed, I mean, get blessed right now, but you can go home and watch the news, and you'll be depressed in a little bit. Everything I've said to you about arise and shine, now you can lose it in a little bit. The devil will try to steal it before you even get home. You'll get behind a slow driver, and that'll be, you'll lose it. I want to tell you, there's something real that God wants to do, and we need to get over a lot of petty stuff and get down to understanding the purpose of what God wants to do. There's a lot of pain in this world, but you can use pain as your platform for what God wants to do in your purpose. Your pain becomes your purpose. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what the disciples did. Every single one of them died a violent death except John, and God kept him alive so he could write the end of the book to tell us we win in the end if we follow him. That's the important deal. But an understanding about God's grace and all we go through and how the Holy Spirit wants to do that. And this is why I want to say a strong word about baptism. If you've been putting off baptism and making excuses, but my mom and dad had that done for me when I was a kid. Good. Thank God for parents that did that. Amen? I don't want to take anything from that, but I do want to build on it. You as an adult, knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to make that decision. Listen, it's a burial followed by an immediate resurrection. And as many times, we're missing some of the simplistic things. In the New Testament, it was so simple. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We make it so complex now, people don't know how to connect, or they don't feel it's important. Listen, if the Bible says it, that should settle it. Amen? And when we get to that point, you're going to see the benefit, the blessing will come. So I'm encouraging you, get baptized. You know, I ask for permission for this. Because sometimes you hear me preach and you hear Pastor Jim preach. We're preaching the ideal, but I've always tried to be real. And I know he's that way. He is a man of God, and he's doing everything he can to be the pastor God's called him to be. And being real doesn't mean you always have to be right. You've got to be real. But understanding how all that works and understanding the struggles and what's going on with people. And, you know, I remember several weeks ago of standing in a time when we're worshiping the Lord. And, Junior, I'm going to ask you to come stand with me just a minute. And I did ask his permission, by the way. So come stand with me, by me, will you? Because, see, sometimes we're preaching the ideal and we forget this is real. This is real right here. And isn't this a good-looking young man? Yeah, yeah. There went my microphone. And it was your father-in-law that was here with you, right? Yeah. And he's back there now, right? Yeah. He didn't even wait for the sermon. He got touched during worship, and he responded. And he stood here with his father-in-law, and thank you, Dad, for your obedience to stand here with him. I watched this young man. I watched his face get baptized in his own tears. I've been meeting with him and his dear family, and we've been sharing. He's going to get baptized. I've been meeting with him and his dear family, and I want to tell you, it's a miracle of what God has done. Now, I want to tell you this. Most miracles are slow-motion miracles. There's snap points, but most of them are slow motion. God's been working a long time to get it to where it's at. And I'm proud of you, son, that you're taking steps to be a man of God. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, these last...
Okay, hang on just a minute.
These last 3 months, been a life changing. I feel the difference. I mean, since I came up here, got on my knees and cried. Yeah. I said, I'm tired of doing it myself. I always try to do it myself. But I just gave it to God. I let him take over. And these last 3 months have been so different. I've been a better father. a better friend and a better husband to my wife. And it feels so good. You know, everything's going good, you know.
Yeah.
And every time I come here to this church, everybody greets me and gives me hugs every weekend, especially him. He's like a rocket. Targets you, gets you. He's on you. He's on you.
Oh. God bless you. I love you. And see, this is the thing, folks. I honestly believe this. I read something where they're building the ark. They're actually going to build an ark. Did you read that? Somebody's doing that. They're donating the money. They're going to build an actual ark. We're building an ark here. We are. And listen, you got to prepare before the storm. It's hard to build a boat in the middle of the storm. Amen? The storm clouds are there. They're everywhere. And I'm going to talk a little about that today. And I need to ask you to be very careful to listen to what I say today, especially in this service where it goes out on television. And I don't know about this YouTube stuff and everything. I see stuff on there. I think, whoa. But it ends up all kinds of places now. This technology is a wonderful thing, I think. I still have to have the ladies at the airport help me get my ticket. And I just got back, but I want to tell you, the day and hour we live in, there's a lot of hurting people. I want you to know every person, I don't care what you think. Oh, I do. But I mean, it's not a head thing anymore. I want us to think with our heart, because God does. I want you to know He loves people. And He's going to ask you to love people that you don't even like. I'm going to tell you something, church. God's going to move on the church in such a way. You got some people in your life that you don't like. And they know it, and you know it. And God's going to ask you to go to them and ask for forgiveness. You know, When I left for board meeting at the end of June, I think it was like the 23rd, somewhere in there, I was here for the first service, and then I left and I went to AME Church. I said, dear pastor and folks that were there, could I pray with you and could I ask you, forgive us? Forgive us for what we've done to you in the past? And they forgave and we loved, and I split out of there quick and went to the Second Baptist Church, and I was worried I'd be too late. They're still having worship service. And I almost got rhythm in that service. But then the pastor was very gracious to me there and let me speak to the congregation. I asked them to forgive us, to forgive me. By the way, if you ask for forgiveness and you make an excuse, forget it. It's done. No excuses. Just ask for forgiveness. We're trying to fix problems in this nation and even in the church that only forgiveness can fix. And we have to forgive based on what we've been forgiven. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Amen? Our world keeps trying to fix things through all kinds of methods and programs. They won't work. Forgiving the past won't change the past. But it makes a future. The understanding of that is so great. You know, a lot of times I hear people say, I got your back. Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you got my back because that means you got my blind side. You'll watch me. But I've had a few people have my back and they stabbed me. So that didn't work too well either. But you got to learn to trust too, even if that happened. Well. But I'll tell you who's really got your back is the enemy. He's already trying to get your back. He's already trying to, listen, the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the past, I press toward the mark of my high calling in Jesus Christ. What was he saying? Listen, God's got my back, my past, that belongs to the Lord. I'll use it as a testimony of the goodness of God. But more important than that, he's got my front. He's got my future. Amen? I want you to remember that. And every time the enemy tries to suck you back, the Bible says God can take no pleasure in those that draw back. Don't you draw back. You step out. And you realize your future is secure. And if God tells you to ask for someone's forgiveness, don't make any excuses. Don't do anything. Just obey Him. Go do it. Take care of it. Get it clear. And you'll be set free no matter what they do. And I'm asking you in the name of the Lord, as a church that I believe in, as a people I believe in, as a family that I love, that you please obey, because the Holy Spirit is going to have some things to say, because he wants to be able to do something in us so when it goes through us, it'll really touch people. And there'll be people that'll come, and Pastor Jim will be preaching, and he won't even get to the altar call. And they'll come, and they'll receive the Lord. They're going to feel the love when they drive by here. They're going to understand this is a church that love built. They're going to understand that where you work. They're going to see it in your home because you're beginning to live it out. It isn't just something of lip service. It's something of love that's happening in your heart. That's the real deal. God wants to make that real to every heart. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to be the church that's ready for the return of the Lord, that really does get ready for his return. And I'm honestly telling you, it could happen before I get done with this service. I hope to be able to get to the time that the Lord will allow us to have, that we can do this tipping point and an understanding about what God's doing. There's only one verse that I know that's holding back the return of the Lord right now. Only that one thing that's holding it back. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and everlasting life. Once you go through this teaching of tipping point, Jimmy Evan is one of the best known voices in our nation. Robert Morris's church is there. Pastor Jack is a mentor to Robert Morris. And the whole thing, but it isn't about a certain person or a well-known person. It's a clarity of truth that God wants to make so plain that you don't even have to be a very discerning person. Matter of fact, even the world right now is talking about the fact, can humanity survive? They can't see hope. Our young people can't see hope for the future because of all the garbage that's in the world. But I'll tell you, in the mix of this, that's where we need to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Please notice the order of this. He doesn't talk about the darkness. He talks about the light. Then we deal with the darkness. We come to darkness with the light of God's love. We step into places where it's dark, and we bring his love. That's so important in our understanding. How many of you have ever walked into a room that has these motion lights? And the room is dark, and you walk in, and the light comes on. Every time that happens, that's you, Lord. That's how you work. Say, Pastor, you're just, you know, that sounds nice. Oh, listen. You know, how many of you face some dark days? How many of you have had things come in your life, you just look at it and say, oh, this is gross. I hope it wasn't what your wife prepared for lunch. No, we've all faced some gross darkness, haven't we? It's not just dark. It's gross. And I want you to especially tie something together with that, though. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about the rulers of darkness. There's the key. See, it's not just darkness, and it's not just gross darkness. It's the rulers that work in the dark. The devil works in the dark all the time. He fears the day that you'll come to arise and shine, and that understanding that the creative God that made you in his image said, let there be light, and there was light. It came. That's the real deal. Sharon and I have faced some difficult days as she's going through her physical problems right now. And we're working that out and seeing that. And I really ask for your prayers on that, that God will undertake. But I want to tell you, in the mix of that, we got light. And we pray together. And, you know, I was sitting with Karen Waters on Friday. And it was a Black Friday because of all the things that was being decided for her about her physical condition. And she's going to be going to the El Verno. And they gave me permission to share this. But we need to lift them in prayer. But it's kind of like it was a Black Friday. But as we sat there and I listened to her spirit, and her spirit as strong as can be, and listened to the reality of what God does, I want to tell you, in the mix of that, I almost thought about the fact this is a Black Friday, but Sunday's coming. There's going to be a resurrection, and we don't know what that means. But it brings you back to this. I not only love you, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. That's where it gets. No matter what I feel, it's a real deal. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to be able to understand that, walk in that reality. You know, when Sharon was going through some of the checking out that she was getting, and we were here at Medical Associates, and I was sitting there and waiting. She had gone back, and I was waiting there, and I saw a man wearing a cap. And I always read what people have got on their caps, you know. And I always kid about the one that I saw that said, when the mind goes, forget it. I remembered that one this morning, especially when I got here and realized I left my sermon at home. And Pastor Jim ran and got it because he knew if he didn't go get it, I'd never quit. I'll go get it. No, he was very kind to his father. He honored his father, and thank you for that. And I tell you, the understanding of what it is, though, when I looked at this man, and I saw his cap, and it was one that showed that he was served in the military and what branch he was in and that. And so I sat down by him, and I began to talk. And suddenly I realized, as I listened, I stepped into a very dark world. But this man said to me, he said, I've held three of my children in my arms as they died. One was 18, one was 25, one was 43. I held them in my arms as they died. I won't go into the detail, but it was the darkness that destroyed them. But I want to tell you, in the mix of this, there was a light that came. We began to talk, and I said, now, don't bow your head or anything. But I said, I'm going to pray. And we prayed, and the Spirit of God showed up. He did. He's faithful. And he did something nobody could do. I couldn't do it. I feel as helpless and hopeless in these situations, but I also know this. That doesn't limit God at all. Don't you limit God. The saddest words in the Old Testament was they limited the Holy One of Israel. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that man, and he said this too, this is a God moment. This is a God moment. Our paths crossed. I would just tell him, thank you for serving in the army. But there was a different warfare going on that nobody sees. Pastor John talked to us about the God of angels' armies, you know, and the fact that these angels are not some little Cupid with a bow, you know, with a big belly that are shooting at somebody and just got wings and flit around like a butterfly. Listen, one angel in one night came in the Old Testament, wiped out 185,000 soldiers in one night. What do you think the enemy did the next day? They were coming against the people of God. They got up in the morning and they hightailed it. They never came back again. There's a lot of concern about what's going on in the world right now, and the signs of the times are everywhere. We can see it, and God is so gracious and so loving that he's given us all these signs. You don't even have to be spiritual. You see the blood moons, and that's recorded in the Bible, where the moon will be turned to blood. It will look that way. The blood moons are like an advertisement in the sky. Listen, look. Please look. I'm telling you, I'm coming. And an understanding of that. What we see happening in the world all over. And by the way, I want to get this clear before I make the next statement. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness, against the rulers of darkness in this world. Amen? When I talk about that, when we were at our board meeting, the last thing we prayed about was the same-sex marriage because of what's happening. And listen, I want to say to you young people, I want to say this to you as much as I said this to these churches that I talked about, that I went to and asked for forgiveness. I want to say to you young people, forgive me. Forgive us as adults for not doing a better job of bringing light and love to you. Forgive us that your identity can be so messed up that you wouldn't know if you're a man or a woman. Forgive us that we've allowed there to be something that's called a marriage that you can't find anywhere in the Word. And forgive us for that because we're not against you. We love you. And I want anyone that hears, that understands and hears the heart of what I say as a shepherd. I love you. I care about you. I care so much about you. I'll stand against you because I'm for you. I love you and I want you to know how great that love is. I want you to know the truth. I would rather have a person curse me now than curse me for all of eternity because I never told him the truth. The understanding of God's grace is so important. And listen, there's only one hope. Yeah, praise the Lord. And listen, when I look out there, I'm not pointing and say they're sinners. Most of what I look at, I want to say forgive us, and especially for our young people. And I pray, God, help us to arise and shine. That's why when we have these two nights, these two Sunday nights of the tipping point that we're going to be talking about, the tipping point of Israel, which is the timetable of the world, the Middle East, Jerusalem, the apple of God's eye. I want you to have your young people, your children, maybe not this small, but your children that are old enough to listen. Listen, the world gets to them quick and lays the foundation and does everything it can to steal away their identification. Their identity theft is happening in a way that we never understand in this culture right now. And it's stripping things away. It can take a man who doesn't understand whether he's a man or a woman. A man in his 60s that all of a sudden decides he wants to be a woman. And he doesn't know. Listen, all he needs is the word. He needs Jesus. And you and I can look at that and criticize that. That man is crying out, "Who am I?" And there's only one place you can find an answer. And that's in the one that created you. You can't find it from the created. You find it from the creation. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so wants to awaken us, church. We've given our opinion many times, but oh God, give us obedience. And give us love like you have. We're all sinners. I've sinned. I'm thankful that he that knew no sin became sin for Jim, that I might be called the righteousness of God. There's none worthy. No, not one. But we need to love. We need to care. And listen, it's not the love that the world talks about. Love covers a multitude of sin, but not to hide it, to heal it. And church, that's what we're to be about. This is a church love built and is going to keep building by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. That is so important. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, if you look in the Middle East right now, where all the Islam is so strong, that used to be Christian. And it now it's been turned around and the counterfeit has taken over. But God's not at work. And we can say, well, what are they going to do about that? And Israel, the one nation we need to stand with the most, we keep pushing away. We have this deal with Iran going on and all this. Listen, that's all part of what we see of the signs of the time. And don't sit there and give your opinion and listen to the newscasters. They don't know what they're saying. It's the word of God. Listen, when Russia and them, and they will come, and they will come after Israel, and Israel will not fire a shot. They'll have a hook put in their jaw and they'll be drawn in. And it will be just as it was when that angel came down and 185,000 were wiped out in one night. God will fight for them. It will not be by might nor power of man. Their Savior will not be the United States. It will be God Almighty that created that nation. But he's not done with America. God bless America. But God awaken America. And the only hope for America is the church. That's you and me. You read the New Testament. They are us. It's our time. And we need to make a difference. I'm not just speaking out of some kind of emotion to you today. Listen, you're getting something that's been simmering in my heart. You're not getting a microwave sermon. You're getting a crockpot sermon. This has been simmering for a while. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, when I look at all that's happening with people, listen, right now, there's a person that is homosexual that wants to sue Zondervan book publishing for $70 million because they put in there that homosexuality is sin. But there's a blind mind. And there's such a blind... And listen, here's the sad part. Many churches are caving. Many churches are concerned. Listen, this is really going to affect our Bible colleges. We deal with this in these board meetings. It's going to affect our Bible colleges. It's going to affect our churches. In time, the government will not allow you to your contributions to count. And you're going to have to decide about different things. There's going to be the kind of persecution that comes that you'll begin to understand that you are going to pay a price to be a Christian. But I want to tell you, arise and shine, for your light has come. Don't you hide from what God wants. Amen? God wants you. The God of unlimited power has limited his power to partner with people like you and me for what he wants to do for all of eternity. It's not about this little short shot we have here. It's for the final deal for all of eternity when he calls his family home. You know, I was reading, and you know, they expected in the early church that the Lord would return at any time. And he didn't. And that's one of the things I laid on my bed for hours and thinking, well, Lord, people keep setting dates and do this and that. And by the way, we're not setting any dates, amen? Boy. I'm on page 2. Well, how many of you believe in fasting? Listen, we're going to talk to you in these two Sunday nights. And again, I want this to become not just, oh, yeah, I know that. I heard that. Or come and let it go. You need to talk about this at home. You need to talk about it with your children. The tipping point of Israel. The tipping point of technology. Listen, this technology right now, what you have on a phone, it's amazing. I mean, I can get a text. I still don't know. I got 53 of them right now. The last time I looked, I had to get Drea to clean that up for me again. And we get Dawn when she comes over to figure out, and we get Jeff to figure out our television. I'll tell you, it's a family approach to get all these things to work. And I'm thankful for my family, all of them, all my grandchildren, great-grandchild. But to listen, the tipping point of technology, the way it is. You know, I always wondered in Scripture when it say about the two witnesses that are killed. And by the way, that would be Elijah and Enoch, because Elijah was taken away in a fiery chariot. He didn't die. Enoch walked with the Lord and was no more. It talks about the two witnesses that lay in the street for 3 days and the whole world to see him at the same time. And I thought, well, God can do that, you know. I don't know how, but he can. But do you understand how long-suffering he is? In the natural, you could understand how that could happen now because of technology. That the whole world could see him lay there for 3 days and then get up. That kind of reality is here. The other point, the tipping point of time. We're almost at the midnight hour, folks. And it's not gloom and doom. It's not gloom and doom. Please don't take that. You're missing the whole mark. Deal with the light. Get the light first. Then deal with the darkness. Amen? The other is a tipping point of morality. When we talk about what's going on today and all the mixes there, listen, this thing about sexuality, of understanding our identity in that. The devil hates the fact that you have creative power, that you're able to create life on a physical level, that you have children, grandchildren. He hates that. He can't create anything. He lost all of that. And he wants to mess that up so much. Why? Because he doesn't want you to understand the second part. And this is what Pastor Ted brought to us when he was here and talking about Cambodia and how the enemy's trying to pour gasoline on the womb that's giving birth to so many people. A million souls have come to Jesus Christ through little kids that are considered a curse. Why is that? He's trying to destroy that understanding that we have creative power on a greater level, a spiritual level. And if he can mess us up on a physical level, we'll not understand the power and the creative word that we can speak into people's lives and say, let there be light in these dark places. You can't sit with a man that's had three of his children die and let there be light. You can speak the words, but they won't mean anything. But if an understanding of the Spirit of the living God can work in your heart and you can understand what he has to say, you can pray and make a difference. And God is looking to you for what he wants to do in this community. Listen, many people are paying such a great price. Most Christians around the world, they would look at our problems and say, your problems are so puny. I don't know what you're complaining about. Your worst day would be better than my best day. But see, judgment is happening at the house of the Lord. There is judgment going on. In America, there's great judgment. There's great judgment in church. The gray is going to go away in the church. It really is. Only the truth, and speaking the truth in love, by the way, only the truth will prevail. There's a lot of truth decay, and that's another point, a tipping point of truth. People today, they don't want to hear the truth. They want to have a cause. They don't want to listen. I think I said this to you earlier, but did I say to you, wait on the Lord? Wait, I want to be sure. When I do two services, but listen, it's important that we wait, that we listen, that we hear. But when you hear, don't just hear with your ears. Start hearing with your eyes. Start watching people. I was sitting on the plane this last week, two young people sitting by me. And I have to confess to you, I had a negative thought about them right away. They're kind of wild and woolly, and she's got pants that got a hole this big in the leg. And they got their little earphones on, and part of the problem was I was tired. And so I just kind of nap, but then, all right, Holy Spirit. He has a way of finding you, you know. Holy Spirit, if you want me to talk to them, then you open that door, will you? And they took their things out of their ears. And I started talking. And they're the most wonderful young couple, brother and sister. And, you know, in talking with I gave him one of my bracelets. He got a Man of God bracelet. She's kind of like, where's mine? I'm going to have to get a Woman of God bracelet, a pink one, I guess, to start giving. We've given out nearly 2,000 of these. And I gave to them. They're so wonderful. And, you know, the hole in the pants didn't bother me anymore. Matter of fact, I got a pair of pants like that that I mow in. And I stuck my foot in, and I really tore it open. And Sharon said, why don't you throw them away? I said, no, I'm going to wear them a while longer, and then I'm going to sell them to a teenager. Listen, dear church, I want you to know there is persecution, and that's going to become more real right along. Not just in other parts of the world, here. And what it's going to do is tell you to shut up. And you're going to be just like me sitting by that young couple. I want to tell you, every bondage begins with a lie. The enemy lied to me in my mind. They don't want to listen. They wouldn't listen. They were hungry to listen. Listen, I put a Man of God bracelet on the manager of the La Feria restaurant last night. Before I thought about it, I just said, I love you. I guess I thought I was still in church. He couldn't have been more open. Billy Graham said it best. The only hope for America is God. God is very patient with sin and judgment. The wheels of judgment turn very slow, but they grind very fine. God's very patient with, I was glad he was patient with me. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. No good on my part, all on his. It's so important that we understand, though, when you begin to flaunt sin, and that's what's happening in our society, when the White House lights up with rainbow colors, and I'm saying this with great respect to what that means, that was a covenant that God gave, and it was a covenant that came after judgment to the whole world. And when we began to flaunt, you get God's attention. Franklin Graham said, you won't like what you find at the end of this rainbow if you disobey what God has to say. And dear church, we stand at this time. You literally stand between the living and dead. Decisions you make now are not so much about you going to heaven, but do you care about your family getting there? Are you willing to take a couple Sunday nights and really begin to understand what's going on so you can speak both with head and heart to a world that wants to listen, that wants to hear, that needs to know? And if you don't show, if you don't arise, then the gross darkness will be there, and the rulers of darkness will win so many people that will be lost for eternity, because that's the only way the devil can hurt God, is to hurt what God loves the most, to hurt his children. How could anybody hurt you more than hurting your children? And God, by the power of the Spirit, is saying, Church of the Open Door, arise and shine, for your light has come. This is a defining day, a day of decision, according to the Word of God, of what I can and will do. I won't criticize. I won't put people down. I'll build them up. I'll love people to life. I'll be able to let that light come into the dark world and be able to show them by the grace of God how they can be able to know Him and love Him and know of most of all how much He loves them. So many people say, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Wrong question. How could anyone reject a loving God and send theirself and be lost? And church, we're at a point, a tipping point. Now get this and I'll quit. I think. I'm on page 8. And I got 21 pages. I just want to say again, God didn't save you just so you get saved. You're here. And if you got some things you need to deal with, now's the day. If you got some people you need to go to, do it. Husband and wife, you need to get some things brought out in the light, get it done. Arise and shine. Don't hide anything in the darkness. That's where the devil feeds. Arise and shine today. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did at one point, but you're not walking with him today. Today is the day. And I want to ask you, open your heart, not get religion, but a relationship with God that's real. That you understand the reality. I believed in God, never received him until I was 22 years old. I knew he was out there. I didn't know how to get him in here. But I want to tell you, we're in a day and hour right now that is the greatest opportunity that you'll ever have to let your light shine. Let's do it, church. Let's go for it. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me. Hallelujah. Father, we humble our heart. And Lord God, we do applaud you. We clap our hands. We shout unto the God of our salvation and thank you for loving us, Lord. Sometimes I don't know what you see in us, but I'm thankful you do. I thank you. You see sons and daughters. I thank you, Lord, that you want a family, a blood-washed family that's forgiven. And God, that we can understand that grace and that mercy. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll work in a way that loves people to life. The power of your love. Where would we be without your love? We'd still be lost in darkness. God, may we not point at people who are in sin. Lord, they already know that. They need light. They need your love. We don't take love to cover up. We come to heal. And Lord God, I pray that you will give us wisdom to be able to do that. The kind of love that reveals and heals the deepest wounds in the human heart. Only you can do that. And Lord, I thank you that there's going to be hearts here today that walk out and deal with some stuff that's been there for a long time. And you're telling them now, get it out. Let it go. Make that call. Ask for forgiveness. Repent of that sin. No longer let those imaginations run through your mind. No longer have that negative attitude. No longer look at what's wrong with people. Look for the God and the good and call it out and call it up and into what God intends. I want to ask if you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And we lift our heart with our hand, the Bible says. If you're here today and you need to come to Christ, you've never done that, or you did at one point, but you've drifted away. And today is the day you're coming back. Would you just slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'll just take a moment. I won't do anything to embarrass you or put you on the spot. This is between you and the Lord. God bless you, my sister. May the love of God just flow into your heart. Are there other hearts this morning that just hear, God bless you, my sister. You not only hear, but obey what God has to say. And listen, that voice is going to continue and it's going to grow. And it's going to magnify something in you that's going to bring the greatest love that you've been looking for a long time. Receive that, believe that. Are there other hearts this morning? If that tugging at your heart is happening, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not a preacher up here. That's the Holy Spirit. God bless you, my brother. And may you know this day that you're going to find some wisdom that's hidden in your heart that's going to make you the man that you desire to be. And there's been so many things blocking that. But today, as you humble your heart, you're going to hear words you've never heard before, and you're going to hear it from a Father that loves you deeply. It's the one that created you from the foundation of the earth. Are there other hearts here this morning? How many of you would say, Pastor, I just kind of been cruising along. And I've been on a cruise ship, and I'm not ready to get on a battleship. And Lord, I've been talking about the darkness and talking about everything that's wrong and pointing fingers at what everybody's doing and pointing out people's sin. And today, I make a decision. I'm going to let that go so you can show your love through me. Would you slip up both hands? This is between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord. Lord, there's going to be some things involved as we release this, because it's not going to just start here and stop. It's going to keep flowing and it's going to flush out everything so that we are a clean vessel, that we have purity of heart and holiness that allows us to have a pure heart that can see what God's doing in this day and hour. I believe for your grace upon every heart and hand here today and upon the Church of the Open Door. I speak the blessing of the Lord. I speak the grace of God that will let your light so shine from this hill. And God, this will be an open door that no man can close. And Lord God, that every heart will be a part of that. We bless you for that. Believe for that in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I really love you, church family. I'm very thankful I can speak to you this clearly as I do. And I'm very proud of Pastor Jim and Lisa, proud of Jeff and Dawn. I'm thankful for a family that's following the Lord. Amen? You know, I'm not just proud of him because he became a pastor. He's my son. You're my daughter. You, I really love you. And Jeff, I love you, son. You've been a miracle in our family. And I want to tell you, dear church, we've gone through some brokenness. We've gone through some dark days. But in the mix of this, the Holy Spirit would rise and shine if we'd just let him. And he's ready. And I want you to know, this is something. Listen, the devil will try to punch your lights out before you get home. He'll put you behind a slow driver that'll just get you so frustrated. They're going 10 miles an hour, and you could go 30. You as a husband and wife will find something wrong with one another really quick. That's the devil trying to steal away the seed that's sown. In the name of the Lord, I seal it by the Spirit that it can't be taken. Amen? Amen. Because it's the precious word of God. We take it, and we count it as valuable. And that's worth holding on to, and pretty soon it'll be holding you, but you'll be able to share the life and love of our Lord. God bless you. I love you. Would you hug a bunch of people, and we'll go on our way. I love you, Cora. Oh. I bless you, sweetheart. I'm proud of you guys. You guys are giving me encouragement. Bless you. Love you. All right.